League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joining us right now, the athletic director here at Texas A&M University, Ross Bjork, rejoining the show. We haven't seen you in a couple years, huh?
It's been 2 years. Yeah. I was here about a month and a half. I just started in July of 2019, and then you guys were here for fall camp. So now it's 2 years later. Man, it goes by fast.
So tell us everything that's happened since then.
Gee, is anything going on? any questions out there?
So,
well, I mean, look, when we met 2 years ago, right, on this very stage right here, it was about, hey, would you ever play University of Texas in football?
Right.
And, you know, what have you learned since you've been here about that rivalry? And will that game ever – I remember you guys were asking, and I said,
yeah,
hey, look, I've only been here like 6 weeks, but I have learned that we do not want to play the University of Texas. We have moved on.
Yeah.
The schedules are set out until like 2030 and all this kind of stuff, right? That just goes to show you that college athletics is evolving. It changes – pretty much every single day, every single hour, and here we are. And obviously, they saw the wisdom of our choice going to the SEC.
Right.
Yeah, they followed our lead, and here we go. So
we felt for you, and I felt for the in your comments, which, you know, they were captured on video.
Yeah.
And they were put out there. And I don't want to say you had to walk them back. You got to do what you got to do. It's a conference, and it is what it is. But I did personally, as somebody who grew up here, my dad coached in the Southwest Conference. When I grew up as a kid, people either said, what are you? Are you an Aggie or Longhorn? Well, I'm neat. I'm a Cougar. My dad's at U of H. And then,
yeah,
you know, the Baylor fan. It was a big deal at Southwest Conference. But I thought it was really cool in 2011 when the Aggies moved and they had a chance to really define their own relationship. And we know what happened with Longhorn Network and all that stuff. That's in the past now. But I really like the opportunity for University of Texas. And I kind of felt for you when you were making your comments, because I think, you know, I understood where you're coming
right,
from,
yeah,
and I think
right.
it was an honest comment, and
right,
I felt
right.
like
yeah, yeah.
most Aggie fans felt that
yeah,
way.
Like, and look, it was in the moment, right? I mean, there's emotion around
yeah.
decisions like this, especially with how things kind of ended in the Big 12. A lot of emotion over Texas A&M and the University of Texas and all those dynamics that were happening back in 2010-11.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and if you look at how sort of Texas has been a conference partner, they've dominated the Big 12 conference, and that led to the breakup, right? And so it was like, hey, wait a second, do we really want that back in our league? Like, so you really, what you had to do in that moment, Lance, was, okay, you can disagree with the how,
mm-hmm.
but you really, when you take a step back, you can't disagree with the what. And the what is, hey, we're on the right side of the equation in
yeah.
college athletics.
Right.
The SEC's a leader. I don't know about this alliance. I really don't know what it means.
None of us
do
yet.
I think it's reactionary to the strength of the SEC. And so you said, okay, in the heat of the moment, okay, we don't like the how. We're emotional about it. You get caught off guard or whatever. But you take a step. Okay, the what? Let's go. We've been ready. We're building it. We're playing at a high level. Look at what Jimbo's doing. Look at our other sports. It's like, hey, times are changing. Let's bring it on.
You're one of the haves. There's no question about that.
Right.
So we've seen so many the pods. Okay.
Yeah.
You, LSU, the two Mississippi schools. You've
yeah.
seen.
You said you've seen.
We've seen.
And
this.
You've heard.
I've heard this. That's what I'm saying. That's
right,
what
right,
I'm asking
right,
you.
Right.
Have you heard this too?
We haven't seen anything final. So we had an athletic director meeting last week. We always meet this time of year, mid August, kind of prepare for the seasons, get the academic years off to the right start. And so we talked about scenarios, and we talked about a lot of things. We talked about 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, pods, divisions, and really what it's all about. I think all the other athletic directors would agree with this, that how do you create variety? We need variety. not playing Georgia here yet in Kyle Field, that doesn't make sense. We've been in the league now 10 years.
Well, you never played Georgia here?
Not here.
Yeah. How's that possible?
But that would happen every 4 years in the pod system.
And so, variety. Let's get more variety. Right. Let's get more rotation. How do you keep fan interest? Hey, look, we have 103,000 seats. How do we make sure that that stadium is full every single Saturday with variety, with matchups? TV households aren't as important anymore, but eyeballs are important because people are watching on their devices and streaming. But how many people are watching? That's variety. That's matchups. And then postseason. How do you set yourself up for postseason? So if that's pods or divisions or, hey, here's the pod with Texas A&M and whoever's in it, we're all for whatever those scenarios are, which lead to those things that I described. And so we looked at some different models in terms of, hey, here's how you could set up pods with no names attached. We'll get into that this fall, and I think by next spring have an idea, okay, here's where it might be headed. And then it all depends on, does Texas and Oklahoma come in 25? 2025 is the date right now.
Well, I know John doesn't think so.
Do
they come in early?
Yes.
Then that would probably dictate which direction you go, at least early on. So a lot to decide. And
do you honestly believe that it's not going to be until 25?
If I'm the remaining Big 12, I hold out as long as possible.
Yeah.
Right? But from a revenue standpoint.
Have to from a revenue standpoint.
So unless I think Oklahoma and Texas are going to pay the full freight.
Unless they're going to buy them out, which is possible.
But you know what?
I wouldn't give them a discount.
Right.
No.
Right?
No.
And so stay in as long as you can if you're the remaining Big 12 to maximize your revenue.
You got to feel, and speaking of the remaining Big 12.
That's just my opinion.
You got to feel for them as they were at the table, and there's a lot of those teams that are right now are – they have no spot. They got nowhere.
Yeah, I've talked to four or five athletic directors in the Big 12. All colleagues, we're all friends, and you know they're trying to find out what the pathway forward is and how does all this work, because they want to stay relevant at the highest level of college athletics. The autonomy five, power five label, they need to be able to keep that, and so they're trying to figure out what is the pathway. What's the Pac 12 has said by the end of the week? They plan on announcing whether they're expanding or not. To me, their options are Big 12 opponents or Big 12 programs. What does the Big 10 do? Doesn't look like they're going to do anything right now. So I know the Big 12, the remaining members, they should have a seat at the table. There are some great programs there, and hopefully it works out for them.
It does. I do feel for them. I think that, you know, with revenue streams, I think that the interesting thing is going to be, I don't think revenue streams are as clearly defined moving forward. And I say this from having conversations personally outside of just the radio show with some things that I'm involved in. And when you talk to people, you find out how to engage individual consumers who are not at the game, but create a revenue model for them. Is there going to be broadcast stuff on, you know, can the SEC network? I'm working with a player tracking company who they can track player information. They're completely markerless. No, you don't have to wear anything. They're out of Sweden. And their whole thing is that they can turn around the data in 1 to 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, that can be on a broadcast, or it can be disseminated to a fan base.
Like the analytics is being used in baseball right now.
Yeah, you're going to have the exact same idea
and
the concept.
Velo and everything else.
Instead of getting it at the end of a drive or at the end of this, well, okay, so if you have this available, now you've got things that you can sell to a fan base who's ravenous for that kind of stuff, but they want it on their mobile devices.
Right.
And so how do you come up with, you know, I think that's all out there. And that's why I think that this is going on, because that pie, and especially, and I don't know how the wagering is going to affect college football, but I think there's a lot of money that's going to be interjected, and how you get a piece of that pie is going to be important.
Oh, I think so too. I think the technology piece, I mean, just look at what we did last year. Normally, this would have taken like a 3 to 5 year process to go straight to digital ticketing, where every ticket is on somebody's mobile device, and then we went straight to cashless concessions.
COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That would have never happened.
So COVID sped that up for you.
So the technology piece, to your point, that's coming. My son, he doesn't even know what a $5 bill is. Like, he's like, Dad, what is that?
They only know hundreds.
Like, what is cash?
Because of their
mother.
It's all on their phone.
Exactly.
It's a debit card.
You just take your phone and scan it.
To your point,
good.
We need to capitalize on that technology.
Right.
And I think data to give fans, you know, info will be important.
So are we moving toward, you mentioned Power 5, you mentioned conferences, are we moving toward one big 64, 68, 72 team? Division 1?
I think I think that's somewhat far-fetched, at least at this stage right now, John. Here's what I think is the next step. We're going through this constitutional convention where the NCAA has announced we want to review the Constitution. They formed a committee, 28 members. The membership is a little probably diverse than what we would want. There's only 7 FBS representation on that committee. Mm. The rest are division, and I played Division II football, great experience, but can they really relate to what Texas A&M needs? Or, you know, so we'll see what the Constitutional Convention, really what the output is.
Is that what you're calling, or is that what it's called?
No, that's what it's called, yeah. So we need to see what the outcome of that is. What does governance look like? What does the NCAA say, hey, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to have the conferences do it.
Mm-hmm. Or what happens? When do the conferences say, we don't want you anymore?
So I think that would not happen until you go through this review process. Because the NCAA may say, hey, we want stronger. I doubt it. Or they may say, hey, we want the conferences to. So until that happens, I don't think anybody can say it's the 64 or it's the 41 that the alliance created, 41, and here we are going to be at 16. I don't think anyone can say that yet until you know, what's the NCAA going to do? What's the future of that organization? Mm-hmm. What kind of governance do they want to have?
They're trying to reestablish themselves, but we'll see what happens.
No, let's reestablish themselves. Okay, yeah. Let me ask you this. Are you happy with the way the NCAA has handled NIL? With Tate going, just stepping back and not doing a thing?
I've been around several NCAA committees over the last 5 to 6 years, my previous stop at Ole Miss and here at A&M. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about NIL for 6 years. We could have done something before the California bill was passed. We could have done something.
Get out in front.
These
of
things
it,
have been on the table. We were reactionary to cost of attendance way back in 2012 and 13. That became an issue. We've been reactionary on a lot of these lawsuits. So the lack of identity, the lack of leadership has put us in this spot where everybody's going, what the heck is going on? Where is the leadership? Should the conferences That's why the alliance came in to be, because it was a reactionary move. So there's just a lot of things that have happened because I think there's just been a void. And so a lot of my colleagues, presidents, commissioners, were all frustrated at the national level. So in some ways, it's a good thing that we're doing this constitutional review. Mm. So we can actually maybe get some things on the table to make the right kind of change.
And yet Emmert was just reelected.
Just reappointed.
But the reactionary thing is that you're so dead on with that because I felt like, you know, you can't let it get to a point where if you had done things in advance, you stem the tide, you control it a little bit more. But once you let it get to the gates, you're not going to be able to keep
action
it out of the gates.
Instead of
it's just,
reaction.
There's no proactivity with the NCAA. There never has been. And that's why when they say they're going to reimagine how they do things, they're going to have to be really honest with themselves, I think, if they want to be successful.
That's
with
right. No doubt.
Ross Bjork, hey, congratulations. You're one of the halves. There's no question about that.
Appreciate
it must be a good time to be
absolutely
here.
We're excited.
Baseball. I know a lot of people are excited about
Coach
baseball.
Schlossnagel's doing a great job.
How's Buzz going to do?
I tell you what, you just look at the physical nature of our roster now. Mm. We got some guys. I mean, I've watched some practices, some workouts. We just look totally – we got size, we got length, we got athleticism. He flipped that. Look, the transfer portal can taketh, right? But it can give.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And in our case, it gave a lot. And I think Buzz is going to be silently excited, kind of cautious.
He got
optimism.
Great. He just added a great recruiter. You know who he added, don't you?
Rock. He's going to join us.
He's got Steve the Rock.
He's coming this morning.
Is he coming over this morning?
Rock's coming.
Hey, and Jimbo broke some news, huh, this morning?
Yeah.
We're happy for it. We're like, I'm sitting that's there good. Thinking, hey. I don't remember ever hearing that he's a starter, but maybe I just didn't read it.
And Pat Henry's going to join us as well.
Okay. Legendary coach. We got some great coaches.
You got a Hall of Famer there.
No We're question. Very blessed at A&M. Exciting times ahead. So thank
Ross
you guys.
Bjork right here, ESPN 90s. It's all under your leadership, too.
We're trying.
It's amazing.
That's all we can do.
It's amazing. One
day at a time.
Right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin, Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.